Luke chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to the light.
Good morning. I am about to introduce the speaker for this morning. Before I tell you who she is, I'll tell you the two facts that I know about her. I know that she's from Archbold, Ohio, and that she is a campus pastor here at EMU. So help me introduce Joanne Guiardo.
Thank you, I am both those things. No one lights a lamp and hides it in the clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. These are the words of Jesus, who promises us full disclosure, that all will be made known, every good deed, every evil deed, everything will be brought out into the open. Now, I hope none of you are in chapel thinking that nothing surrounding Take Back the Night involves you because you've maybe never been raped or molested or sexually abused or have ever sexually abused someone else, because shame, a loss of innocence, a sense of overwhelming fear, feeling different, weird, feeling dirty or damaged, feeling not lovable, hating yourself, hating someone else who has wronged you, feeling hopeless, needing a pep talk to get out of bed, to go to class, to take a shower, or just simply be with other people. Then you have something in common with those who have experienced sexual assault or abuse. Now, to be clear, the experience of survivors is different from those who experience depression or grieve for mental illness of many kinds, but I think it's easy to polarize such common human experiences as if sexual abuse and violence doesn't impact the whole community, and it does. It definitely does. The words of Jesus are probably some of my favorite in the Gospels because of the assurance it gives that that which is done in the dark will be brought to the light. Each week I sit with a group of women who are survivors of sexual assault and or abuse. All of our stories are different, but many of the emotions are exactly the same. One of the things that surprises me most is that no perpetrator, not one single rapist or molester, no one who has altered all of our lives has been known for who they are. For some, it's this hiddenness that eats at them, that affects every day of their lives. The perpetrators haven't faced negative consequences in a courtroom. They've denied what's taken place. They've had support from others backing up their innocence, leaving a lot of us, myself included, with this horrible sense of doubt. Did this really happen? Am I just imagining things? Did I really consent to that? The way my body reacted, did I send a message that it was okay? Should I have said no more? This hiddenness that Jesus talks about, this concealedness, is exactly what perpetrates violence. We doubt what is hidden, what we can't see. So concealing things protects the perpetrator and leaves the survivor in doubt, wondering, angry, maybe even blaming themselves. And Jesus is wanting to do away with this dividing wall, this protection of the wrong people, wanting to bring justice to what has been kept hidden. And that truly is the good news. But while this is important, where does that leave us? It leaves us exposed and open. For the longest time, I operated under the assumption that things are kept quiet for a reason, and bringing them out into the open hurts everyone. And initially, that can be the case. For instance, weeks like this drive me crazy, even though when I was in college, I helped plan such events. And in all love and respect to Take Back the Night 2012, it can be Trigger Week 2012 or Hell Week 2012, with all this bringing things out into the light and putting lamps on stands. We have a huge responsibility in the community, a huge responsibility, not only to respect those that may not be ready to share, but to tread carefully on what is truly sacred ground. Because I don't believe Jesus is advocating that we expose the vulnerable, but be mindful that it is God that will bring, not by us forcing it, but God bringing light to the dark places. Some of the most painful words I've had to hear, particularly this week as I was thinking about Take Back the Night, and maybe now you're wishing you asked someone else who is farther along in their healing journey, but I'm somewhere in the middle, so you're gonna have to put up with me. I was asking a friend, how long is it gonna take? How long will it be till it's not in my mind? It's not in my emotions, in my speech, or my bones. And her response was, as long as it takes. And that's hard to hear. Healing, like revealing, is not instantaneous. Some of you may be thinking ahead to the open mic tonight, and maybe you'll share, maybe you won't, maybe you'll be there in support. But do know that coming to a place where violence can be revealed takes time. God's time, your time. Maybe that's tonight, maybe it's not. But the process of revealing things hidden is slow and painful and tedious. Now I found comfort and hope in the fact that the community that surrounds sexual abuse and violence survivors is one that I found to be open and embracing. As one person in my support group explained, those of us who have experienced childhood sexual abuse is like being born blind. You don't know another way to function. You think that the world is okay with what has happened to you. You think that your relationships need to be a certain way, and being blind is just the way things are. You're sort of used to managing your way around life. Those who've experienced sexual violence later than childhood, who've been raped or assaulted in their teenage or adult years, it's like being struck blind. You knew what it was like to see, but now you have to change your whole perspective because part of you has been altered. It's changed in an instant or in several instances. But the point is, we are all blind. And people can try to understand, be empathetic. People can have certain circumstances that have happened to them who now need glasses, but they're still sighted. As a survivor, you no longer have the same sight. This may sound completely depressing, but this is my experience. It's honestly that I can tell it. It's soul-sucking. It drains you. It can be embarrassing to navigate in the dark. But the beautiful side, the freeing side, the hopeful side to the lamp on the stand, as the gospel states, is the act of laying the burden down, the act of revealing what has been kept hidden by telling others, I'm blind. I need help to see. I need you to help me see. For now, I need your hand. I need an arm, a shoulder, whatever it takes to help me function in this world. I need help. This is a heavy burden to put out there. But as always, the more you lay down, the lighter you feel. The more you reveal, even if it's just to yourself or a close friend, the less power it has over you. Unfortunately, it makes things all the more real. But again, the less power it ultimately has over you. It's saying no. No, this was not right. No, I will not participate in the parts of culture that make this sort of thing seem cool or okay. No, I will not deny that this happened. No, give your chance the self to say no. And this goes for any of the burdens we carry. Burden carrying is a journey. You can carry it, you can lay it down. Sometimes you pick it back up again, but then you lay it down. And it can be a terrible cycle, but it's a very human cycle. Nor are you taking steps forward and backward alone. There is a God who cares, a Jesus who suffers with us. There are people who are there to be your hands, your eyes, your feet. For me, a lot of picking up, laying down, picking back up again has been how to handle the darkness. How darkness has been so helpful and simultaneously so harmful. In a way, secrecy and darkness have been sheltering. And I think we all need to honor one another for whatever journey we're on to realize that we're not all at the same place. We can't all put our lamps on a stand, it's too painful. We can't all get up and share at the open mic tonight and open our hearts and find healing. And yes, that can happen, but it can't be everything. I'm not saying that staying in the darkness is okay, but we need to be mindful of others, that our sisters and brothers, mothers, fathers, community members, we can all have our stories, but we won't necessarily hear them. Darkness can have its purpose at different places on the journey. And while we all strive towards light, steps forward and backward can happen. This past Advent season, which was particularly dark for me, I came across this poem by Jan Richardson, a prolific writer and minister that spoke significantly to me concerning the times I've struggled with both wanting darkness and light at the same time, both concealment and revelation. Begin here. Say that you have chosen it. Say that it was your own hand that turned out the light, your own mouth that blew out the candle, your own eyes that closed themselves against the brightness. Say it was your doing. Say you needed the shadows, the darkness, that your eyes had begun to squint at the brightness, that the light had begun to make your head buzz. Say you needed the rest. Say you didn't. Say it wasn't you who chose it, wasn't you who reached out to turn off the light, wasn't you who snuffed out the flame, who covered your eyes. Say the darkness stole up on you. Say it overtook you. Say it clamped its hand over your mouth before you could scream, its fingers across your eyes before you could take one last look at the light. Say it jimmied your door in the middle of the day. Say it climbed through your window in the middle of the night and took the sunrise with it. Or say it simply called to you from where it stood in the doorway, looking longingly at you, winking its great pale eye. Say it followed you home. And maybe too many times I've let the darkness follow me home. It's hard to live with it. It's hard to live with knowing what could have been or how everything might have been different but isn't. And that's a feeling that's hard to shake. It's hard not to long for darkness when we're so used to it, when maybe that's the solace that we depend on. Now, in a bit of a shift, I've made a habit of listening to the Florence and the Machine almost every day, particularly on weeks that are especially bad and at a pretty loud volume that it disturbs people around me, actually. And since I was asked to talk, I haven't been able to get this song out of my system. Now, I debated for a while on whether this would be completely lame or awkward or fruitful, and I decided on fruitful, even though one friend told me awkward and one friend told me fruitful. My favorite song is Shake It Out, and I find the words to be pretty prophetic and also particularly helpful for those of us who struggle with events of the past, pretty much trauma of any kind. The words suggest that the singer says in moments of repose that her demons come out to haunt her. There are several points I identify with in this song. She's always dragging her horse around. She's ready to bury it. For those on a journey of healing, it can take a long time to come to this point, and I myself am still waiting for that moment. She also admits that she can't leave the past behind. And I don't think any of us who have faced trauma of any kind, can really leave it behind. We drag around that which bothers us, which is all the more reason to take steps in laying what we can down. Maybe that's telling one person, getting it out through a class, going to a group that meets, being honest with yourself, practicing self-care. All of these steps can help us lay it down. For me, burying a part of myself is a huge temptation that comes with that. A few years ago at Take Back the Night open mic here, a really dear person shared a poem saying that she wanted to take the part of herself that had been violated and bury her and grieve her and leave her in the ground. I remember resonating so much with that, and I've kept that poem with me, her words coming from a desire to move on, to treat the violation as a sense of death. And what we know of death is that it's permanent, it's escaping, it's moving on. And while I resonate so much with that, we can't let what is hidden take over us in such a way that we allow ourselves to become hidden with it. The part that probably most moves me is her being done with her graceless heart. A Mennonite by denomination, which I think, by and large, can be pretty stripped of grace at times. There's a lot of pressure to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to be accountable to the community, to be the change we wish to see in the world. And while these are all great things, that sometimes leaves us little room for grace. And one thing I have been pretty set on after listening to students, after going through therapy, sitting in groups, that I am indeed done with a graceless heart. Graceless towards myself, graceless to those who have tried to be helpful, graceless to those who've perpetrated violence against me. I'm not forcing forgiveness on anyone that isn't ready, but I know in my own journey I have made efforts to understand those who have made me feel victimized, and have tried to understand what it is that causes a person to perpetrate violence against women. And I've come to realize that grace plays a huge factor in this. I'm not talking about forgiveness, that's a whole other topic in and of itself, but grace, the desire to understand. Grace and the desire to reach out to others who've experienced similar life experiences. Her response to the devil on her back, whatever that may be, is to shake it out. It's hard to dance with the devil on your back, so shake it out. And it's always darkest, she says, before the dawn. So what does it mean to shake it out? I think a lot of what's happening this week is our way to do so. There's an open mic tonight where some will share, others will have someone share on their behalf in our attempt to uncover what has been hidden. A prayer walk will happen on Thursday, another attempt to shake it off through prayer, what has been on our hearts and in our hearts. There are plenty of ways to shake it out, this devil on our back that keeps us from dancing. And for me, a huge part of that is naming what is wrong, naming the darkness, naming where we've seen the light, naming who has helped us on our journey, naming Christ as our path to being saved, restored, and healed. And calling sexual crime for what it is, something that is evil, it's not of God, that is a product of a sick, fallen person or persons in a sick and fallen world. By listening to one another as we share our stories of common pain, by advocating, by teaching our students, our kids, our family members, our friends that violence against women cannot stand and will not be tolerated in this community. By believing our friends, our community, our family, when they say they've been assaulted or abused, and by not asking questions like, were you drinking, or what were you wearing, or how could you let this happen? That is how we can begin to shake off this devil, this horrible experience or experiences. By uncovering in our time and God's time, by revealing in our time and God's time, by shaking off the voices in our heads that keep us from standing up for women and for men, by having those who have found restoration and healing to be our example as the lamp on the stand that can help us stumble to a better concept of what it means to be whole, completely and utterly whole. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open.